Matthew chapter 19. Matthew chapter 19. We continue our study this morning on marriage. Last week we discussed be not unequally yoked. This week we're going to look at God's plan for marriage. The two shall become one. The name of the series is, of course, I Do. You know what that means, right? Once you did, you've done it. Right? We all know what those two words, I Do, mean. Matthew chapter 19, verse 3. Would you stand with me as we read from God's Word? Verse 3 says, the Pharisees also came to him, testing him and saying to him, is it lawful for a man to divorce his wife for just any reason? He answered and said to them, have you not read that he who made them at the beginning made them male and female, and said, for this reason, a man shall leave his father and his mother and be joined to his wife, and the two shall become one flesh. So then they are no longer two, but one flesh. Therefore, what God has joined together, let not man separate. Again, let us pray. Our Father in heaven, we praise you for the day. Thank you, Lord, for your word that you've given us to learn of you and to know your plan and direction for our lives. And I pray that, Lord, as we examine your word today, you will give us insight, that you will give us understanding, and that, Lord, you will apply it to our lives. Lord, I pray that it will change us all, that we'll be made better servants for you, and that, Lord, we'll always be found standing on the truth of your word. Lord, we pray for those present this morning who do not know you in salvation. Lord, I pray that today you'll begin to work and to stir their heart even now, helping them to realize their need to give you their life. And Lord, I just pray that today will be the day that they'll step out and make public their profession of faith and trust in you. Father, I pray that your will be done in every aspect of every service here today. In Jesus' name, amen. You may be seated. I know that most of us have marriage figured out, right? We have some that have been married 50 years. That's a matter of fact, that's where Beth is today. She's with her parents. They're having a little 50th wedding anniversary celebration at the church that he pastors. And, you know, I look at that 50-year mark, and all I can say is, wow, that is just awesome, you know. And the world that we live in, so few people make it to 50 years, and it's really sad, because that was God's intent, and that's what we're going to talk about today, is God's, first of all, his divine plan. What did he have in mind when he created the husband and wife relationship? Well, in verse 4, we read that he who at the beginning made them male and female. Do you realize that the only thing that God said about his creation that was not good was what? When man was alone. God looked and man was alone, and he said, it's not good that man was alone. When he created the day and the night, he looked at all that and said, that's good. When he created the land and the seas, he looked at that and everything was good. Until he got to that point that man was alone. And God said, it's not good that man is alone. And so what did he do? He created for him a helpmate. And as we look in Matthew chapter 19, when it says, he who at the beginning made them, I want you to understand that word made, okay? It carries with it the idea of to take the time to fashion something. God did not just throw things together. God didn't just pile up a pile of dirt and man jump out, okay? That wasn't what happened. God very tediously considered what he was doing, and he fashioned a man, and he fashioned a woman, and all with the idea that they shall become one flesh. Translation for today. One man, one woman, One lifetime. Okay? That was the idea. And understand this, okay? Are you with me? There is no plan B. There's not. You go over to the book of Genesis and read in the creation, Genesis chapter 2, how he created man and woman, and reading here in the book of Matthew, there is no plan B. He created a man and a woman for one lifetime. There is no such thing in the Bible as life partners. Okay? There is today's push is for the alternate lifestyle of homosexuality to be accepted by everyone, everywhere. I want you to know today that you do not have to accept that as an acceptable lifestyle according to God's Word. You should not accept that as an acceptable lifestyle, okay? And our kids, it's being pushed in school, and it's no big deal. I've had kids tell me today, well, I don't see what the big deal is. Well, the big deal is that man is taking God's wonderful, perfect plan for a man and a woman, and he's perverting it into something that is just ugly and dirty. Okay? And don't get me wrong. Each time I mention this, I always say, we have no right to abuse anyone. Okay? That's not... A homosexual needs to see the love of God like everyone else from us. But never come to that point where you accept it as, well, it's okay, because it's not okay. God did not have a plan B, alternate lifestyle. I'll tell you something else. Again, point number two, there is no plan B. Okay? Shacking up was not God's intent. You know what shacking up is, right? That's a throwback, I guess, from when I'm younger. I don't know what the term is they use today, but it's when a man and woman just decide they're going to live together. You know? No marriage vow, no marriage covenant, no commitment, no responsibility, no obligation. And then if you get tired of one another, then you just leave, no strings attached, and you're done. God did not have a plan B. That is not acceptable in the sight of God. As a matter of fact, that is called fornication. Okay? And it is sinful. It is an abomination before God. God did not ever put his stamp of approval on such a thing. There is no plan B. Grab this, okay? God's plan was not two teenagers in the back seat of a car on Lookout Point. Okay? Wherever it is you go nowadays. That's not God's plan. All right? That too is a sin, an abomination before God. You see, I want you to understand that what God created when he created male and female, he created something beautiful and something that will work. Don't mess up God's plan. You know? I mean, look at what we've done to it. With all of our variations and all of our plan Bs, we live in a society that does not know what commitment is in any shape, form, or fashion. You know? We live in a society that refuses to take responsibility for the relationship. A society ravaged by sexual promiscuity. A society plagued with sexually transmitted diseases. Beloved, all that is not God's plan, and we can back up and we can justify it however we want to, but what it amounts to is that we have messed up God's perfect plan for a man and a woman. Okay? One man, one woman, one lifetime. That's the divine plan. Okay? Now, second thing we're to look at is the diversity of that divine plan. He made them male and female. That's just cool. Doesn't that, I mean, maybe I'm the only one that just kind of brings a smile to my face, but as I see that,
I praise God that he made us different. Okay? Because men, if I had to look at you, I'd be depressed. You know, I mean, let's face it. I have never seen a good-looking man in my life. Okay? I have seen a lot of pretty women. And I do not mean that in an ugly way, you know. It's okay to be pretty. You know, God made you pretty. It's a great thing. But I'm glad that he made us different. You know, and you understand the differences. Okay? Men, I did some checking. The differences listed, you know, between men and women. Did you know men have thicker skin? Literally. We're thick-skinned. Okay? As a rule, men, you know, bruise less easily than women. Did you know men have a thicker skull? Literally. Yes, we are hard-headed. Thick-headed. Scientific facts. Did you know that women have 4 times as many brain cells? Let me finish. 4 times as many brain cells connecting the right side of the brain to the left side of the brain. You ever wonder how women can multitask so well? It's a scientific fact. They're bouncing between the sides of their brain. You know, you wonder why us men can't, because we've only got 1/2 a brain to use at a time, ladies. We get focused and boy, you know, I mean, we're zeroed in. We got to complete that job and then we'll take on something else. But don't stack a bunch of stuff on us. Just give us one thing at a time, you know. Because we don't have all those brain cells connecting the two sides of our brain. But in all seriousness, you know, I thank God for the difference, but it's important that you understand the differences. You know, like women. Women know how to care. Have you noticed that? When a kid gets hurt, they don't run to daddy most of the time. Do you know why? Because daddy say, oh, you're not bleeding and the bone's not sticking out. You're not hurt. But women, mama says, come here, baby, and wraps those mama arms around that child and it'll be okay. And they just know how to care, you know. They're good at it. Women know how to have that softness and that compassion that a lot of times we as men, we just, you know... We have the mentality of, you know, solve the problem, knock it in the head, drag it home for supper kind of, you know. But it's okay because we men are supposed to be problem solvers. We're supposed to have that drive about us that you know, protect our family. And but I want you to consider... In Genesis chapter 2 and verse 20, it says, Adam gave names to all the cattle and the birds of the air and to every beast of the field. But for Adam, there was not found a helper comparable to him. Now, that word helper, if you read more over there, you know that God created Adam a helper or a helpmate. Do you know what that means? Ladies, that is not demeaning, okay? It is not demeaning at all. As a matter of fact, it's the same Hebrew word found in Psalms 33:20 that says, our soul waits upon the Lord, and he is our help and our shield. You know, we have the mentality, and we're going to get into it later on. The man is supposed to be the leader of the home. I understand that. But sometimes we kind of get that women are second class. No, okay? There is nothing second class about women, all right? God created the lady to complete the man. To be that help, that strength, that, you know, as we read Psalms and we consider God being our help and our shield, you know. That's kind of what it's like in a marriage when, you know you've got that other person that you can count on, that's going to be with you through thick and thin, that even though the world turns against you and your kids are mad at you and folks at work don't like you anymore, you're going to have that one person standing by your side through thick and thin, and it does not matter. They're going to be there to complete you. That's the relationship of a marriage. Our differences, they just serve to complete each other. God made an awesome thing when He made this husband and wife relationship. You know, sometimes we kid about our wives. Wives, I know you do it too, right? You do. But what I want you to get today is, first of all, that God had a divine plan, and His divine plan was right. And it was a wonderful thing, the way He set it in motion. And you, as husbands and wives, need one another. You do. Sometimes we forget that. Then let's look at the devotion and the dedication of the plan. Then shall a man leave his father and his mother and be joined to his wife, and the two shall become one flesh. The two shall be joined. That word join literally means to be glued to. To be faithfully devoted. Being loyal. That no matter what, no one comes between your relationship. Men, your wife should be only second to God Himself. Okay? Ladies, your husband should be second to only God Himself. One day, it's funny, and understand as I preach this, I've been married for 28 years, and I've still got a long way to go myself, okay? But one thing that's never been used in mine and Beth's relationship is the word divorce. That word was stricken from our vocabulary the day we said, I do. It's not an option. She knows, and I know, when I get mad at her, I might as well make up with her, because divorce is not an option and I got to live with her. You know? And she knows when she gets irritated at me, she may need to get away from me a little while and cool down, you know? But she knows we might as well get together, because divorce is not an option. Okay? God made us to become one flesh. And I'll tell you something. I have figured out to an extent this one flesh thing. You want to hurt me? You can attack me. You know, I'm good at being, you know, I can deal with being attacked. Oh, but my wife? No, sir. You know? You won't want to hurt me? Let something happen to my wife. That really cuts deep. And you know, she's the same way. You know? She gets angry when people talk about her husband. Kind of, yeah. It's kind of a tough thing, because you got to talk about preachers. Amen? You know? But that's part of being the one flesh. Okay? It's supposed to hurt when she hurts. Men, if it doesn't, you need to pray to God. God, give me the love that I should have for my husband or my wife. Nothing should come between you. And I just started to tell you a while ago, it threw my kids for a loop one day when they were, I don't know, 10 or 12 years old, and Beth told them that they were not the most important thing in her life, that her husband, that's me, was the most important thing in her life. And they thought, wow, you know, we're supposed to be important. But you know what they figured out? They figured out the greatest gift that I can give them is to love their mother and to be faithful to their mother. You know? They figured out that the greatest gift that Beth can give them is to be faithful to her husband and to love her husband. And they figured out that even now that they're older, there's something about being able to come to mom and dad's home and expect this one thing to never change. We may change addresses. We may, you know, change houses. But wherever they find Doug Hambrick, they're going to find Beth Hambrick, you know. And that is a consistency that children need today. But it requires devotion on our part. Nothing should come between you and your spouse. It requires dedication. I love the way he ended it here in Matthew. He said, and the two, for this reason shall a man leave his father and his mother and be joined to his wife, and the two shall become one flesh. That word joined. You know what that word joined means? It means to yoke together, literally, in the Greek. Last week, I mentioned earlier that we said, be not unequally yoked. But then it talks here about God yoking you together. You know, you're pulling together. You know what a yoke is, right? You know, you yoke up a team of oxen or a pair of mules, and you put them all, you know, you get them together, and you put them on a plow, and what do? They pull that plow. And it don't matter if the ground's rocky, they still pull that plow. It doesn't matter if it's going uphill, if you've got a well-yoked pair, a team of mules or oxen, they're pulling together, they're both, you know, in there just giving it all they've got, pulling that plow. That's how the husband and wife relationship is and should be. I want to tell you, I'll be honest, I need my wife pulling the plow with me. Okay? Because sometimes that plowing gets tough. And there is just knowing that she is by my side, you know, is an encouragement. Just knowing that as I'm pulling through the field of life, that she's there pulling too, and we're both pulling in the same direction, and if it gets hard, we're both just going to pull harder. If it's uphill, then we're both just going to pull uphill. But whatever comes, we're both going to be yoked together by the hand of God, and nobody's going to change that. You see, I have an obligation to my wife to love her like Christ has loved the church. Okay? Men, that's your obligation. That's the kind of dedication that God expects from you. I know there are times when they are hard to get along with. I don't care who we are, you know, we all have our moments and our good days and our bad days. And sometimes you just got to love them anyway. Right? But love them anyway. One flesh, one man, one lifetime. What God has yoked together, the last line, let no man separate. Period. Here needs to be our view on marriage. Matthew 19 and 6. They're one flesh, and what God has put together, let no one, no one separate. Listen, guys. Nobody should get between you and your wife. I know that we live in a world. I may be green, but I'm not dumb. Okay? That there are all kinds of opportunities out there to be unfaithful in the marriage relationship. I mean, you know, it's at work, it's at play, it's all over. But men, let me tell you, be a man. And when you're propositioned, or that door opens, or it even looks like it's about to crack open, run. Go the other direction. Do not say, I can handle it. No. Okay? Get out. Do not even entertain the idea. Run. You be faithfully dedicated to that woman that you said I do to. Let no one else get in front of that. Women, same for you. You know, we're living in an age. This equal opportunity thing runs down both streets, right? You have made a commitment, ladies, to your husband. Love him for a lifetime. Be faithful. And if some knuckle-headed man, tries to proposition to you explain to him that you made a marriage commitment and you believe marriage is for a lifetime, and tell him to hit the road. See, this is what it's about being a Christian. It's when we take a stand and say, I'm not going to be like the world. My Lord is Jesus Christ. And He has told me how to live in His Word, and that's the way I'm going to live. Take your stand. One flesh. One flesh. Maybe today you're here and you don't know Jesus Christ as your Savior. I'm going to tell you what. For there to be a successful marriage, I think God's got to be in it. Okay? Because there are sometimes, like I said before, we get hard to love, and it takes the grace of God living inside you to keep on loving one another, right? I mean, let me tell you something. If you're not a child of God, you're at a big disadvantage in a relationship. But I can tell you how to become one. Bible says that God commended His love toward us in that while we're yet sinners, Christ died for us. Christ gave His life for you and for me because you're a sinner. And He says, if you'll call upon the name of the Lord, you will be saved. Today, you can pray knowing that Jesus, the Son of God, gave His life, died upon the cross of Calvary for your sins. And today you can go to Him in prayer, ask Him to save you, and He will do that very thing. And as the Bible puts it, He will live on the inside of you. Okay? For marriage to be a success, beloved, you need that. Okay? For life to be a success, you need that. All right? Are you a child of God? Maybe you're already a child of God and you're in one of those rocky times as a marriage. And I understand this. And you think, preacher, now I'm not going to walk that aisle because everybody's going to think I'm having marriage problems if I walk down that aisle. That's fine. Right where you're at, okay? I understand that, but right where you are, you just bow your head. You say, God, teach me to love my wife like Christ loved the church. Ladies, pray that God will teach you to love your husbands like, like he told us to in his word. It's, I mean, you know, let's face it. Marriages, one out of two are supposedly ending in divorce. What we're doing is not working. It's time to turn back to God. Okay? If you're here and there's a commitment you need to make, we're going to have a verse of invitation. Heavenly Father, I just praise you. Lord, thank you for your word. Thank you for your perfect plan of that husband and wife relationship, that one flesh. Father, sometimes we try to mess that up, and we don't want to do it our way. We want to do it your way because we know your way works. So, Father, give us wisdom in our relationships. Give us wisdom to trust in you. Give us wisdom to put into practice the things that you have instructed us in your word. Give us wisdom, Lord, to be faithful, loving in our marriage relationships. And we give you all glory and praise, and now we pray that your will be done during this invitation. In Jesus' name I pray. Amen.